This is episode 128, recorded on October 4th, 2013. Packard pokes at, shut down the puppet government, honey.
Say, friend, have you ever heard someone say something like this?
The word of Zorbo the Great is flawless and perfect. We know this because it says so in the great and infallible book of Zorbo's best and most truest things that are definitely true and should not ever be questioned.
You have committed a logical fallacy.
This is known as the begging the question fallacy, a circular argument in which the conclusion was included in the premise.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now.
If you want to learn more about this logical fallacy or other logical fallacies, please visit yourlogicalfallacyis.com. You can also now watch Packard Pokes At on Atheism TV at youtube.com/atheismtv and, as always, on youtube.com/packardpokesat. Come to the live show and chat with us on Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on vonlive.tv/packardpokesat. See you there!
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/packardpokesat. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/packardpokesat helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
A man of your legendary prowess drinking fucking rain. It's like a lion eating hummus.
I remember that's a line from the movie, which we will be reviewing tonight. I'm not going to tell you which one it is until we get that far. And also joining us from the far East Coast and just a little bit to the south is Crystal Says So.
Hello, people. I'm not even going to try to follow that up, Joe. That was epic.
It was very epic. And also, we also have, instead of one special guest host, we actually have two special guest hosts. We have Jason with a D from the far west coast of California. Jason!
Catchphrase! That's all I got.
And along with him is his very special conspiracy crafter, his monster AJ.
Watch the skies!
And I'm always watching this guy. Of course, I'm always looking for the International Space Station when I am. But anyway. All right, let's get on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. The government shutdown has affected all forms of places, not just out in the real world, also out on the internet. In some cases, some people call it the interwebs, but I don't like using the term interwebs because I don't think it as an interweb because it's more than just web. Most people think that web browsing is the only thing that's out on the internet. If you've been around the internet for any length of time, then you'll know that there's a lot more to it. But a big portion is web browsing. And since there is a lot of web browsing out there, a lot of government agencies that are the most easiest way to get a hold of them is via the web. Oh, and in some cases on Twitter. The CDC, for example, NASA, and the Library of Congress for a few examples. Now, the CDC actually had to shut down. They said, sorry, we will not be tweeting or responding to at replies during the government shutdown. We'll be back as soon as possible. The thing is, with government agencies like this shut down, then what happens to all that other stuff that's going on? The Republicans in office seem to think that the government is just a big thing they could just shut down and doesn't hurt anybody. There's a lot that is hurting, and not just the web, of course, but it's a big story right now. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, the shutdown is bullshit. They have enough votes in the House enough Republicans and Democrats have said they would vote for a clean bill to reopen the government, but the House leadership is refusing to bring it to the floor. And I spent the last 3 days facepalming at all the misinformed posts on the internet by people who think the president shut down the government, and the government shut down because there isn't enough money to pay for Obamacare. It's mind-numbing.
Right.
News, read it. Google, use it. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't hit post. And that's the worst thing to happen to the internet because of all this.
Right. And the thing is, though, the budget that they want to push through, it's a Republican budget anyway. It's not about the money at all in this case. It's just about Obamacare. They're like small children. They're throwing a fit. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to second Joe. It's just a bunch of bullshit, and they're acting like a bunch of toddlers over this. You know, I think just kind of researching the story, I mean, you know, Congress and the president both have to be paid with mandatory funds. They don't have – what am I trying to say? I just went totally blank.
Welcome to Packard Pokes
Act. They have to be paid. I mean, that's part of the Constitution. They've got to be paid.
Right.
I'm really impressed at the growing list of the senators that are either refusing their pay or going to donate their pay to charity, which is just a list that's online. I wouldn't even begin to start listing that. But that wasn't the case to begin with. There was only like three.
Right.
You know, that decided that they wouldn't accept a salary if everybody else was suffering. I'm really disappointed that NASA was one of the ones that took the cuts, as that was non-essential funding except for the ISS station and some, you know, related things.
Yeah, I hope they keep the oxygen going on the ISS up there. Due to budget cuts, you'll be getting less oxygen this week.
No doubt. Plus, they took the darn NASA channel off my TV, and I like that thing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, another thing is they've also shut down is the USGS. You know, the earthquake thing, they'll still monitor them, but it's going to come less frequent. So if there's an earthquake, you might get a few hours later. Oh, by the way, there was an earthquake. Oh, well, thanks for the news there, hotshot. It's a terrible situation.
It really is.
Well, yeah, it just means that we don't have the money to pay for earthquakes, so there's going to be fewer of them.
Oh, there you go. Why didn't I think of that? Because, you know, the government's behind all that. Jason, your thoughts?
This has been planned. Mm-hmm. This shutdown, Republican congressmen and senators congressmen ran promising that they were going to shut down the government.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of footage out there of them saying this is exactly what they were going to do, and now this is what they're doing. So if you meet someone who honestly says it's Obama did it, they are not even paying attention to their own Republican congressman who told them that this is what they were going to do.
It's selective memory.
This shutdown is simply just part of they obviously do not care that – first of all, we need to stop calling it Obamacare because it's misleading.
Yes.
And it ties it directly – to the president. Right now, my mind is blanking as to what it's really called. It's the
Affordable Health Care Act.
Affordable Health Care Act, exactly. There has been a poll that says if you ask someone how do they feel about the Affordable Health Care Act, they're all for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask someone how do they feel about Obamacare, they're against it.
Yes.
So we need to start changing the terminology in regards to what's going on. But what's really frustrating is that they seem to have convinced people that we're going to be able to change the law.
Yeah.
This is a law now.
Yeah.
And most people don't seem to understand that they didn't shut down the government so that we could repeal Obamacare because they can't.
Right.
They can't do it.
They tried 40 times.
Yeah. And it's an incredibly popular bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already started to lower healthcare costs for a lot of people.
Yes.
This is, I feel, the death nail for the Republican Party.
Oh, I hope so. Because I think this, the Republican Party is a dinosaur that needs to die off.
At least this severely conservative base that they keep pandering to, which has been growing more and more out of touch and just very unrealistic in what it thinks the rest of the country needs.
Right.
And hopefully it'll shift back to what Republicans used to be and what they used to believe in.
Yeah.
Which was fiscal conservancy. And they weren't so heavily involved in all of these, quite frankly, moral issues that the quite honestly, I don't think politics have any reason having their beaks in.
Yeah, that's the Tea Party has got their fingers all over this. Hey, AJ, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
This is a conspiracy of monumental proportions. It first started when there wasn't enough fruit in the fruit cups at the congressional commissary. Save money, both the Democrats, the Republicans, and the super secret third party, which goes by no other name than the Blacklist Party, conspired to shut down the government so they can afford the fruitiest of fruit cups.
I want to get on that fruit cup list.
No, you don't.
I want to.
Just telling you about this. Dole is going to kill me, and not Bob Dole, who's half robot. I'm talking about the Dole Pineapple Company.
Oh, I have no idea what to even say to that.
Robin in the chat room says AJ's right.
AJ's right. Packard wants fruit. I would like some fruit. Fruit tastes pretty good. Anyway, let's get to our next topic for this evening.
Please don't reveal the secret ending to your friends. Don't spoil the big surprise. You won't believe your eyes.
Tonight we're going to be doing something we haven't done in a while. We're going to do a little bit of movie review. We're going to be covering The World's End. No, it's not a movie about the world coming to an end, although it does kind of sound like that. It's about a man who is trying to relive his glory years when he was a post-adolescent. He went to multiple bars, tried to do this thing they called the Golden Mile or the Golden Trace. I forget exactly what it was.
Golden Mile.
Was it Golden Mile? Okay.
Yep.
And they're trying to hit all these pubs or bars as us Americans would say, and try to drink a pint at each one of these bars. And they started with like five or six guys there, and most of them did.
Epic pub crawl.
Yeah, the epic pub crawl. Thank you. And they didn't quite make it all the way to the end because of things would happen. So 20 years later, he comes back and he is trying to recreate the thing. So he talks his buddies into getting back together to do all this. And in the process of this, they discover that the town has been taken over by what they call robots. But they're not robots. They're like artificial life forms of some sort. Or aliens, I guess, in some cases, if you want to put them like that. They call them blanks at one point. But that a little bit later. Just so you know, there may be spoilers in this. So if you don't want to hear any spoilers, hit your mute button now. Joe, what were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this is the third movie from director Edgar Wright. And he's worked with actors Simon Pegg and Nick Frost in the past. Mm-hmm. He worked with them on two other movies called Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz,
mm-hmm.
both of which were excellent. I think Shaun of the Dead is really good, a comedy zombie movie, and Hot Fuzz is just excellent. I've watched that movie a million times. It's so good. And when this movie, I heard this was coming out, I was super excited, and actually a theater near me actually played all three movies in a row. You can go see all three movies one after another as a trilogy. Even though these movies aren't related to one another, they're not sequels. It's each movie is a standalone movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all excellent. And this one, The World's End, is just so good. It holds up right with the other two.
I didn't see the other two, so I couldn't say to that.
Yeah, it's very clever scripting. The dialogue is very funny. There's an awesome scene in the bathroom where Simon Pegg says, "What the fuck does WTF mean?"
Oh, yeah.
His friend comes out of the bathroom stall and he's like, "What the fuck?" He's like, "Oh."
I have a slightly different opinion about this movie, but that's just me. But
don't like good movies, so.
No, I feel like a good movie, and I'll reserve my comments at the end. But what did you think? I mean, overall, what would you say? You know, what did you think about it? Basically,
I thought it had a humorous story. It had an ironic ending.
Mm-hmm.
It was great seeing Peg and Frost back together again, and I loved it. I thought, you know, 5 Hail Marys out of 5.
Okay. 5 Hail Marys. Okay. Crystal, what were your thoughts on this movie?
Well, I hate to disagree with Joe, but I'm just going to give it a hail. Just a hail. I do not get into sci-fi movies. And, actually, even though that I knew that it was going to be incorporated at some point in this movie, I was kind of actually excited during the first part of the film until we got to the bathroom scene.
Mm-hmm.
and which is when the science fiction part comes in, right? And I thought the movie was very well scripted, and it's very well written. I love the undertones and the subtleties that you're trying to figure out exactly how these guys are connected and what's drawn them apart over the years. Mm-hmm. And I love that part of the story, but I just can't get into the science fiction part of it. And
yeah, all those guys.
I don't know, it's not the worst one I've ever seen by any means. It just is not my genre of movie. So
yeah, I understand that. Jason, what were your thoughts?
I thought it was a great movie. Mm-hmm. And speaking to what Crystal said, one of the strengths about their films is that their movies are never just about the topic that they are kind of satirizing. When they did Shaun of the Dead, a lot of their movies seem to be about growing up and moving on and becoming a responsible adult, especially the first one. But this last one was more, there's a very melancholy sense about this film in regards to the main character, King, who has literally not grown past high school.
Yes, I got that impression too.
He's been stuck in a time warp since high school. And, you know, in the United States, that joke is made about, you know, the kids who are really popular in high school, like the football player or the cheerleader or something like that, where when they feel their greatest 4 years were in high school. And it's interesting to see that carried over in pretty much the same kind of attitude in England, that they have kind of the same thing, these kind of hangers-on that will never grow up.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything like that, but there is a very bittersweet feeling to this entire, you know, these are friends who hadn't seen each other for a long time, didn't necessarily want to see each other for a long time. The King character, while funny, is kind of horrible in many ways.
That's true.
Yes.
But what's really great about these is that I watched this movie and I didn't feel like I was watching a repeat of the same characters and the same themes from the previous two films. Edgar Wright the actor, I can't remember his name at this point. I don't know why. The guy who's playing King has played three distinctly different characters in all three of the films. And so has I can't remember the larger gentleman's name either. I'm so tired. I'm sorry.
Nick Frost?
Thank you, Nick Frost.
Okay.
They've played very distinct characters. It would have been so easy to have them play the same thing over and over and over again. And I would just like to say I love this movie, and it is one of the few films that I've seen that was not made to make any money.
Really?
This was a movie. No, I mean, of course they would like to make money, but it was not made with the express purpose of being a blockbuster.
When
you watch this movie, you watch someone who is doing a movie that they wanted to do, that is entertaining for the audience, but was not made. A lot of the big blockbusters coming out of the U.S. right now, you can feel the committee behind them.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, we need to have this, and we need to have this huge fight scene, and we can't have the character doing this, and make sure that we have the Coca-Cola placement product right there.
Well, there was Foster's beer endorsement on several places on there, too. So
was there?
Yep. I take notice of that kind of stuff, product placement.
Do you really?
Yep.
I didn't notice it, so.
Yeah, every time they would pour, several times right towards the beginning, they'd show the beard, they'd show the Foster logo, but it was upside down, but they showed it like several times in a row.
That's fine, though.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, they got to play some product placement in there, of course.
I mean, it's not positioning an actor so that they're holding the can at exactly the right angle.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone can see what they're drinking.
Right.
I agree that if you don't like sci-fi, you're probably not going to be that interested in the film. I think that Crystal has it right on the nose. It's a very engaging movie up until, and this is for some people, until the robots come into play.
Yeah. Well, I for myself, for the first 30 minutes, I was like, okay. I was watching an arrested adolescent. Until you get to the end and find out why he was acting like he did. And what part of it was kind of like, until you get to the end, you don't understand what's going on. I'm not going to give it away. But he goes to every pub that they hit. He has to have a drink. I mean, he literally, there's robots or androids or blanks chasing after him. And he's the only thing that's on his mind is getting that next pint of beer. That was the goal. I understood that was the goal, but I mean,
I thought it was respectable that he kept to the mission.
Yes, I understood that. I was thinking the same. I was kind of thinking the same thing.
I didn't find him admirable at all. I just felt terrible for the man.
Well, I thought
he was so, this one thing was so important to him that he was willing to overlook his safety, his friend's safety.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that kind of concerned me. Yeah, that was, but what concerned me a little bit is like, you know, if you're being chased down by robots, anything I have to do, I'm going to set it aside so I can get everybody out. But he was so, I felt he was so overconsumed to consume alcohol. I thought that was a little odd. But then,
I don't think it was the alcohol. I think it was the quest.
Mm.
Exactly.
That's what was driving him.
Okay.
Not the alcohol. The fact that he wanted to finish this one thing that he did not finish when he was in high school.
Yeah.
Kind of like his bucket list.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Especially now that he's actually staring at the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one, remember, I can't, there are certain things in here that I can't give away because of spoilers.
Right. I don't want to give too many spoilers away, but there was...
Yeah. But he may be looking at the end of the world, and this technically is his bucket list. This
right.
is the one thing that he wanted to do, and he's going to do it, even if that means, you know, kind of lying to his friends,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I will have to admit, I did like the way the ending. I won't give away too many spoilers. You got it. Yeah, if you want to see it,
it was a funny ending.
It was a very interesting ending. It was not the ending I was expecting.
No.
Based on the sci-fi shows and movies I've seen in the past, the other life form, as it were, that's involved in this, gave a response. I'd almost say it was like an atheist dealing with a Christian. In some cases.
Hey, hey, hey.
There's no arguing with you.
That's what I got from it, of course, but that's just me.
That's pretty funny.
AJ, you watched this with Jason. What were your thoughts?
I don't watch mainstream movies.
You don't watch movies?
No, they all have implants in them to make you find your password. You realize that popcorn is one of the most heinous snack foods in the world?
Are they? Or is
yes,
it?
Yes, but the Popcorn Consortium puts hidden messages in all movies so you continue to eat it.
I was wondering why I was craving popcorn go out and buy a Pepsi all of a sudden.
Well, now you know the horrible truth. Good luck sleeping.
Okay, Joe, you gave it a 10. You gave it basically 5 out of 5. Crystal, what was your score out of that? What would you give it?
I'd give it a 3.
3 out of 5? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jason?
I'll give it a 5.
5. Okay.
I hope we can talk about this after the show is over.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Opinions about the ending that I just can't say.
Oh, no, we will talk about that after the show.
Oh,
and if you're not coming to the live show, you're not getting all this extra content. So you got to come to the live show at Friday nights at 9 p.m.
Yeah, see, he's like a pusher man there.
You betcha.
Practical Magic from YouTube gives it a 5.
Oh, she does? Okay, great.
Cool.
Practical Magic. Oh, she's in the chat room. She's Connie. That's Connie. That's
yep.
you spoke to her at the meeting.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, she gives it a 5. Oh, great, great.
That means we all like the movie better than you, Packard.
That's all right. That's
yeah, nothing. Packard, what did you give it?
Oh, what did I give it? I give it about a 4.5 out of 5, actually, because I liked the ending. The rest of it, like I said, I thought it was pre-adolescent stuff, and I was like,
of course it was. They were on a pub crawl.
I never found any of the humor adolescent.
Yeah.
I found that the actual drama and the interaction between the guys very, very, very engaging.
Yeah.
Actually,
could you not feel like just the sadness with the main character, King?
There is, and yeah, and that, and I was, that's why I said it has such a high degree of melancholy. And
yeah.
Yeah, see, the thing is for me, because I live in Wisconsin, and I've seen so much of Bars over my lifetime that I see a lot of this stuff in real life, so I can't sympathize with that point of it. Because I when I see stuff like that, I see it as it's very sad. So I don't see it as very funny at all in those respects. But I like the ending, and I like the way they dealt with each other during robots chasing them. That I thought that brought up the acting ability and everything and brought the storyline back up. That's why I gave it about a 4.5. All right. Well, anyway, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. There is a little trap out there. It's called Honey Trap.
Oh, you talk so dirty sometimes.
I know. It's. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about honey that is being imported from other countries, China especially. When I was going through this story, you don't think of honey as being such a big international scandal. I found out stuff about honey in this article that I didn't even know. Instead of letting the bees dry off the honey, they put it in machines over there, and then it makes it more yellow or something like that. But it also makes it give it the taste like sauerkraut. I've never heard of honey ever tasting like sauerkraut, but it apparently that's what it supposedly tastes like. They added sugar and corn syrup to the honey to get rid of the taste, and they had all kinds of things going on with this story. The honey itself, they used chemicals in it to get rid of a disease that's very common over in China, and which that food additive is illegal here in the United States. And what I thought was kind of funny, when they were talking about the way they were going to get this stuff over here, they'd say, oh, no, don't talk about this in email. Only talk about it on the phone and in German. And I'm like, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, yeah, nobody in the world else except for Germans speak German. And they actually said that right in the article also. They actually said it twice in the article, which I thought was funny. It's like, well, what were they thinking? Did nobody else in the United States or in the world speaks German other than just Germans? Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, they need to search the globe for the perpetrators of this honey laundering ring and bring them to justice. I don't care if they go to Indochina. I want someone waiting in a bowl of rice ready to pop a cap on their ass. Yeah, but this article, like, Connie brought this article to our attention, mm-hmm. and I'm sitting here reading it, and it's mind-blowing.
It is.
This is so crazy. They went to extreme lengths to hide the fact that the honey they were importing into the United States came from China. And they were importing it in 55-gallon barrels. And they were sending it to third-party countries, relabeling it. And as you mentioned, they were altering it. They were filtering it and stuff to try and hide, because honey is biological.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do tests on it to figure out where it came from, like what flowers are the bees flying into, and, you know, flowers are regional. And, you know, they were trying to hide the fact that it came from China. And there's the reason that we can't import Chinese honey is because there's a huge tariff on it.
Yep.
The Chinese were trying to dump honey on our market back in the early, like, I think it was 2001. They finally imposed the tariff on it because they were honey dumping. And so they imposed this huge tariff. So Chinese honey is three times as expensive as honey brought in from other places in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, when the government found out that this was going on, they raided the office of this German company in Chicago. They had bulletproof vests on. They were armed. They came in there. They're like, give us your honey. And they you know, they copied all the hard drives. They took their paper files. You know, it's
I think they confiscated all the hard drives. They confiscated all their computers and paperwork and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, like, this is such an insane story. It's almost like I'm a huge fan of the 1970s movie The French Connection.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one where they're trying to get the gold out of the safe, and they're running around in the little cars, or is that a different movie I'm thinking of?
Well, they are running around in the little cars, but they're drug smuggling from France. Now, they should make
a different
new
movie I'm thinking about.
And call it The China Connection.
Yeah.
Where they're smuggling honey in, because this story is so it involves, like, trans-global corporations,
mm-hmm.
multiple nations, all sorts of sneakiness. They were forging documents. They were doing this just to get honey into the United States. And the honey was being bought up by big companies to put in breakfast cereal,
mm-hmm.
Nutrition bars. Honey is in everything. It's crazy. Like, they use it as a sweetener other than sugar. And, yeah, like, this could make a crazy, crazy movie. Like, it's almost like on the level of Madrigal from Breaking Bad.
Right.
This company that's just up to no good behind the scenes, and they're like, oh, well, you know.
That would be a great show.
And the company in this honey laundering scheme is even German.
Yeah.
And Madrigal in Breaking Bad was German, so it's like, oh, those dirty Germans are up to no good again.
Breaking Bees?
Breaking Bees. It'd all be run by a tiny yellow bear.
There you go.
Oh, bother.
You know what else I thought was interesting? That
you're
said,
going to sell my honey, or I'm going to put a cap in your ass.
Yeah. I thought one of the things I thought was really interesting is that they said, well, when you ship it over to the United States, make sure you change it out of the green barrel and put it into the black barrel, because they all know that the honey that comes from China is got to be in green barrels. I don't understand the significance of that, but I guess it's just one color coding. It was just really interesting on how the illicitness that they had to go through just to get honey into this country. It was really strange.
Packard, anything can be turned into contraband.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Before we get to you, though, I want to keep calling you Dave. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Dave, because you got the D in your name there. Jason, we'll get to you in just a moment. Crystal, your thoughts?
I'm going to echo you and Joe both. This was really a fascinating story, and thanks to Connie for bringing this out, because
yes.
I had no clue. I mean, the article talks about that Americans consume more honey than anyone else in the world, which equates to 400 million pounds every year.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge market that they were trafficking in. And to go to such extremes like they were doing, changing the barrels and filtering it and adding the percent, it's just unreal. I think the thing that really kind of really pissed me off, and this happened back in 2006, this stuff's been going on for a long time,
mm-hmm.
Is them adding the chloramphenicol, which is an antibiotic that is banned, that you alluded to earlier.
Yep.
It's banned
yep.
in the United States. It's a horrible antibiotic, and it does horrible things. It kills people. And this
really?
Was in your stuff you were dumping on your kids' pancakes in the morning. And, you know, to say that there needs to be more regulation is an understatement.
Yes. And then the government shutdown does not help the situation, because now the government shutdown. We're going to go get more honey and bring it in. I'm going to get letters from everybody saying, hey, you're being racist with the voice. But
and don't talk in a southern accent either.
I'm trying not to. I'm really trying not to. Jason, your thoughts.
It doesn't surprise me. Anytime you regulate anything that's coming into this country, you will eventually create a black market.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it's honey, maple syrup. They had that big maple syrup heist.
We talked about that on the show a few months back. Yeah, that was hilarious.
It doesn't matter. If we decide that there's something that we're going to regulate before it can come into this country, there is going to be interested parties who will go to extreme lengths to break the law to make sure to bring it in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons why I have problems with the drug laws in this country. Drug laws do not stop drugs. They just make them more expensive.
Yes.
And they make the people trying to get them in here more creative and more violent in order to get their product out to the general population.
Yes.
And you can use these examples as good examples. This is honey
mm-hmm.
we're talking about. And, you know, like you said, they came in, they had vests and guns and everything else. And you know, if you can get this kind of business over honey, then when you have drug laws currently where they're sending people away for life, or in some countries they get the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they've done that
too. Even more extreme measures to not only protect themselves, but to make sure that things get shipped. You know, the cost in lives just to try to get it into this country becomes higher and higher.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's – I'm not going to say it's ridiculous. It's just it's what happens.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that the regulations on Chinese honey are incorrect. And I'm actually kind of suspect of any food product that would come out of China mm-hmm. for general sale, simply because I just don't think that they have the inspection quality controls that we would expect.
Yeah.
Before it comes out here. It's kind of hard to poison electronics, but remember, they had that pet food thing
mm-hmm.
where they either they killed the guy,
they killed that
official that was in charge of it.
Yeah, they killed him. They had mm-hmm. they had him put to death because of, you know, there was a big conspiracy over there, or not conspiracy, it was a big
embarrassment.
Yes, it was a big embarrassment to the country. So they said, you know what, you embarrassed the whole country, you're going down. You know, and
I mean, if someone's trying to sell something in our country and it's got sticks and twigs and the part of it's green and bubbly and it
mm-hmm.
doesn't even smell or look like the thing they're saying it is, then we should regulate it.
Oh, yeah.
But when we have to remember that when we regulate something or put restrictions on things, someone's going to try to do an end run around it.
Absolutely. And there's a part here from the article that says a deal was made to sell the contaminated honey at a big discount to another customer in Texas, a processor that sold honey to the company. According to the documents, ALW executives called honey holding the garbage can for the company's willingness to buy what others would not.
Mm-hmm.
Grishby followed up with the honey holding, noting quality as discussed, quote unquote. The contaminated container was delivered on December 14, 2006. Apparently, they had one that was rejected. They got partially through. It's like, hey, there's something wrong with this stuff. So they basically took it back, with the remaining of it left, and then they resold it to somebody else that was willing to try to slide it back underneath the radar at a discount there.
And I just wanted to add one last thing.
Sure.
Honey is one of nature's perfect foods.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to screw up honey.
Yeah, it's bee barf.
I mean, they found honey in Egyptian tombs that had been locked and sealed that was still edible.
Oh, wow.
The stuff is one of the reasons why it was so highly prized, is because it was so potable that you could get honey and you could keep it for years and it would still be good and it would still taste good.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really need to do anything. It doesn't need to go through a purification process because it's kind of already in a state where it's not going to rot and it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
I mean, it's food for insects.
Yes, exactly.
So to have someone have tainted honey really makes me wonder what they were doing to the honey in the first place.
Yeah, they said they did all kinds of weird things. They filtered it and they added sugar or rice
they
something.
They were extending it. That's what they were.
Yeah, okay. And that just makes it that may, and they're trying to sweeten it back up because the stuff that came out tasted so putrid. If you ever taste honey that's putrid, it's like ugh, you don't want to put that on your donuts or anything like that. As they said in the chat room,
and doesn't that remind you of when drug dealers cut coke with like baby powder?
Or something. I hate it when my dealer gives me coke with baby powder in it.
You just see some guy tasting the honey. He's pure. Okay, bring the barrel.
Yeah. You're pure. Oh, yeah.
I taste too much white sugar.
AJ, your thoughts.
Yes? What?
What are your thoughts about this?
That honey comes from robots.
Robot honey?
That's why it's tainted.
Oh, my.
Trying to kill two birds with one stone. The robots eat all of their toxic waste and produce this noxious honey.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, they wouldn't have to do that if they hadn't killed off all the bee people in China.
The bee people in China. Okay.
Yes.
What does a bee person look like?
Picture a person.
Uh huh.
Kind of put a bee on top of them.
Okay. Oh, you mean like that bee that's on The Simpsons?
No, that's a cartoon.
Oh,
this is real life. Actor, come on. Does that guy have mandibles?
Yeah, actually, I think he does.
No, it doesn't.
Or no, he has antennae. I'm sorry.
There's never been a Spanish bee person ever.
Yeah, because bees go around in Spain anywhere, huh?
No, the guy on The Simpsons. He's Mexican, I think.
Yes, he is. Mexican beekeeper, or Mexican bee, I think his name.
The bee people from Central America are Africanized, and they'll kill you.
Oh, thank you, Connie. His hands, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Africanized.
Ah, the Africanized ones, right.
There's no bees from Africa. You live in a spaceship. Yeah, a bee flew all the way from Africa to South America. And I'm the crazy one.
Oh, okay. Well, on that thought, we're going to move on to topic for this evening.
Hold it right there, Bob. What kind of civilized people eat the body and blood of their savior?
Tonight, we're going to be talking about, for our discussion, we're going to be talking about Halloween. And since it is the month of October, we're going to be covering all kinds of Halloween myths. And one of the weird Halloween myths that we're going to be talking about tonight is that there's actually out there Halloween good luck myths. Now, there's a lot of good luck myths out there, but a good luck myth for Halloween, I never heard of such a thing myself. I'll mention a couple of these and we'll start the timer. One of them is you'll have good luck if on the night before Halloween you sleep facing south. I'm trying to think, what difference would it make if you sleep north, south, east, or west? And you have to put a compass next to your bed to make sure you're sleeping south directly.
That one doesn't work, by the way.
You have tried it, huh?
Many times. Every Halloween for years, it doesn't work.
And another one is if you hear a cat sneeze, you'll be lucky. I mean,
what?
These are some of the Halloween myths. I mean, I'm assuming that these are taking place.
Made up by a straight-out crazy person.
Yes, these are from crazy people. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, all myths are based on, crazy things. But anyway, we're going to get the timer started up here. Timer is right here. There it is. Here we go. And we're going to start the time now. AJ, since you are resident connoisseur in this kind of stuff, what are your thoughts?
On what?
On Halloween myths.
Stupid Halloween myths?
Yes.
Big, stupid, made-up ones?
Yeah, good luck ones.
Oh, good. Good luck ones?
Tell us about the real ones.
What happens if you sleep on your stomach?
I don't know. I don't know.
If you sleep southward, you have good luck. I guess sleep northward, you have bad luck.
Uh-huh.
If you sleep on your back, you explode. And if you sleep on your stomach, Satan grabs you and takes you down to hell, I guess. I don't know. I deal in the real world, Packard.
Yes, I understand that. Okay, Jason, your thoughts.
My thoughts on all, I have the list here in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And it says if you put a dress on inside out, that is good luck.
Right.
No, that just means you don't know how to dress yourself. A lot of these just sound like things you tell kids who are either getting beat up a lot at school or mm-hmm. get their candy taken every year.
Right.
Could you imagine if someone followed each one of – this? What's this one? You find on your way a piece of coal
uh-huh.
and you pick it up.
Is
this the 1910s? Are you going to follow the man? Oh, look, it's the Coleman coming. Hello, young Johnny. What a lovely skeleton costume. It's not... If the top of your head itches, you will have good luck.
Uh-huh.
Or dandruff. Which one is it? Because dandruff isn't good luck. they make about as much sense as knocking on wood.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know that there's somewhere, at one point I heard what the origins of that is. These just seem just kind of, you know, if you sneeze three times before for breakfast, that's good luck.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah.
I need a physicist to explain the dynamic of how that correlates.
I'd like to know how this did myself.
Three times, how the universe changes so that you have a good day.
Right, exactly.
There has to be cause and effect there.
Yes. Exactly. These are so bizarre.
They're nonsensical, and they don't seem to have anything to do with Halloween.
I know. They have one here that says, if a robin flies inside your house, it's good luck. I would say that wouldn't be good luck. I mean,
have you ever tried to get a bird out of your house?
I've actually, I helped my sister try to get a bird out of her house. That thing was hard to catch.
After the first half hour, you no longer care about killing it. That's my experience.
That's about it, too.
You're like half hour, you're like, come on, get out through the window. And you're just like, I'm just going to smash it with this broom now.
I've had those thoughts myself.
If you're a crazy bird lady or bird man, I don't want to be sexist.
Uh-huh.
That's good luck. If a robin flies into your house, you've claimed another victim. Congratulations.
Crystal.
I don't see what robins have to do with Halloween and why one in your house would be. If it was a crow, maybe.
Yeah, I could see a crow, maybe. Maybe.
But actually, I'd be terrified. Have you ever been up close to a crow?
Oh, I drive by them in Wisconsin. Hell, they're bigger than some dogs in Wisconsin. They're just...
They're bold out here in California. They'll land on your arm and eat your sandwich.
Really?
Yeah, if you're not careful. And the seagulls are worse.
Oh, yeah. Seagulls. We got seagulls out here, but I've heard that about seagulls.
But I mean, if it was like a bat, maybe, that's Halloweenish.
Yeah, that'd be more Halloweenish, but I wouldn't want a bat in my house either. So, although they can fit into a hole the size of a dime, which is kind of cool.
How about if you hit a Christian protesting Halloween? That's good luck.
with the robin, I think.
Yeah, the robin.
just
Chuck Robbins at protest. People were protesting Halloween.
There you go. Crystal, your thoughts about these good luck Halloween myths.
What more do we need to say about that? I think the most interesting one that I found, which really is odd looking up good things mm-hmm. versus the bad ones. But if you go to a crossroads at Halloween and you listen to the wind, you will learn all the most important things that will befall you during the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think for me, it probably would be I would just meet face to face with a Greyhound bus. I don't think that's good luck. But
no.
interesting little, really weird people.
Yes. It's weird things that people believe out there. Like, I'm not sure if I read this one. If you dream of a white cat, you'll be a lucky person. How does dreaming of a white cat make you a lucky person? That doesn't make any sense. Joe, you have the last 2 minutes.
Jason, I respect you, man. All right? I mean, I think you're a clever guy. And while I agree, you know, if you hear a cat sneeze, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be lucky. And if the top of your head itches, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be lucky. But if you put on a dress inside out the morning of Halloween, you are going to win the fucking lotto. You are insane for thinking otherwise. Sleeping soft does not work. This does. It absolutely does.
Speaking from personal experience, of course.
Yeah. Of course.
I got pictures. I got video of Joe doing that. So.
And winning his money?
No.
I am here today because of this.
Uh-huh. It's called blackmail. he said as long as I don't show the video to anybody, he'll stay on the show.
Oh, please. You're just visiting the wrong website, so I posted them myself.
Oh.
A lot of these things are someone with OCD,
uh-huh,
who was trying to explain what the hell they were doing.
Yeah.
To someone else. That's what I honestly believe, that when all these things, that someone goes, oh, cat sneeze, and they're like, what? It's good luck?
A lot of these things.
Why are you wearing that dress inside out? Because I have to.
That's right.
I mean, it's good luck.
I think sometimes when it comes to these good luck myths, I think sometimes they do it the way they're trying to explain the universe around them, you know, and they're trying to figure out, well, what's this? If I do this, what's going to the cause an effect relationship when there's really none there, actually?
You mean it's like a reaction to chaos.
Right, exactly.
We won't accept chaos, so we have to put a straitjacket on it and say, oh, that happened because...
Nope. Yeah, that's time. I didn't push the button. My daughter did, so that's... Yeah,
that's a lucky sign if you get buzzed, though.
Yeah, it's a lucky sign if you get buzzed.
It means you're going to have good luck. Buy a lotto ticket.
If you're on Packet Pokes and you get the buzzer while you're speaking, that's good luck, so you got to go out and buy a lotto ticket right away. So. Cool. But anyway,
just flew in with one in his bill.
Damn, that is good luck. But yeah, there's a lot of weird myths out there revolving around Halloween. We'll be during the rest of the month. We'll be covering other myths. This week it's been good luck. So, well, good luck trying out some of these myths, and there'll be a list of them over at packerpokes@wordpress.com. Let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Tonight's funny tweet comes from Rob Den Blanker. That's RobDenBlenker. He says, I can sympathize with the House Republicans because once my mom wouldn't let me get candy at the store, and then I burned down the whole city. I hate it when that happens. I can't get any more candy from the candy store because it's already been burned down the whole city. But anyway, anybody have thoughts on this?
I would agree with it, except it would be like if you were a kid and you planned 3 years in advance to ask for candy and then be ready to burn the city down when they said no. And not only that, but tell lots of people that that's exactly what you were going to do.
Yes. Exactly. I've got the match right here. I've got all the gasoline hidden. Justin, yeah. I'm ready to strike the minute she says no.
You just walk in. Mom, 3 years from now, I'm going to ask for candy. And when you say no, I'm going to burn down the house and the city. Okay?
I would add to that the candy store is closed for the weekend. It's Friday after hours. There's no option to buy candy until Monday morning. And so they burn down the city.
Right. Don't take it affect any other stuff there. Just, you know, you're not allowed to get candy. Whoa, I'm going to throw a fit here. Rah, burn it down.
And they've tried to buy candy at the store after closing hours on Friday for 40 weeks in a row, and it hasn't worked.
They didn't figure out that come back when the store is open. That's the problem. So,
well, the store went out of business. It's not even an option.
Yeah, there you go. I've been waiting at the store forever for the last 40 days. They still haven't they haven't opened the door. It says
old man Withers that ran it passed away, and I got to buy candy.
Okay. Crystal, did you have any thoughts on that before we move on?
Nah, y'all did a good job.
Okay. All right, well, let's get on to our next topic.
Crystal's like, I could go for some pixie sticks.
There you go. All right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out tonight comes from Crystal, and their shout-out is for Latina Rose 1. That's LATINAROSE and the number 1. Crystal, will you tell us about Latina Rose 1?
I shall certainly, and I don't think that she showed up tonight. Somebody tell me differently if she's in there. But
I don't not see her in the chat room. She's in the chat room.
She's here.
Hey, girl. This is Latina Rose One. She's on Twitter, and her name is Donna. She's from Missouri. She is a longtime listener, started listening when this podcast first started.
Mm-hmm.
And she's usually in our chat room every week. She tweets a lot of interesting news stories, political stories, women's and children's issues. She's a cool chick and a cool follow and a great friend of mine. So y'all give her a follow.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're not
holla.
There you go. Give her a holler. And if you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? And give her a shout out. That's LATINAROSE and the number 1 all put together there. So give her a shout out and tell you heard her on the show. All right, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. And tonight's special guest is Jason with a D. Jason.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing? I have some general questions here. My first question is, where did you come up with the name Jason? I mean, I saw in the preview video, in the promo video that did you had a big clusterfuck, basically, is the way you put
it's
it.
It's actually stolen from George Bernard Shaw.
Oh, okay.
He did this thing where he came up with a spelling for fish that doesn't look like fish at all, and he basically just took the odd... English is a very strange language.
Yes, it is.
And written, we have a lot of rules that make up sounds that don't correspond to what they normally look like.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically phonetically spelled my name following the rules of George Bernard Shaw by taking like the D and the G from words like wedge and edge to make the J sound for Jason.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's spelled out using the different rules, and it is perfectly it's within the rules of English.
Yes.
That the way it's spelled would be pronounced Jason. It's just that lots of people don't think about the language that they speak and write. And once people know what the key is, then they can usually see it.
Mm.
But it became easier just to say Jason with a D rather than saying Jason and going and having to do that long explanation all over and over again.
Yes. I like the way you said this has been Jason with a D, and it's like, yeah, I was like, oh, that's a nice little tag you got on there. So.
Yeah.
My next question, are you religious or were you ever religious? And if you aren't religious anymore, how did you come to your non-belief?
No, I mean, I was never – I would say that I went through the natural process of belief to disbelief. In other words, I didn't have parents that were telling me what to believe.
Mm.
I didn't grow up in an overtly religious household. I was baptized, but that was because my grandmother was severely Catholic. But most of my family was fairly secular. They did not, quote unquote, you know what? They believed what I think most Americans believe.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in, air quotes, something.
Right.
They're not definitive about what that something is. Sometimes they say, I believe that there's someone watching over us, or mm-hmm. I believe that there is a point to the universe, or something like that.
Right.
But they don't pin it down to Yahweh or Jesus or Buddha or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd still count themselves as being spiritual. I didn't do that. I grew up as a little kid believing in God and believing in what they were. But as I got older and I learned more and I figured things out on my own, eventually, around, I would have to say, 25, I just said, yeah, there's no – I honestly – I went hardcore atheist where I said, there is no God at all.
You became anti-theist at that point.
But as I developed more of a scientific bent, I realized just from a scientific standpoint that that is a statement that I cannot prove.
Mm.
I cannot scientifically state for fact that there is no gods or gods. There could be a god, and that god's plan is, I'm going to make everything look as normal as possible, and I'm completely invisible, but we wouldn't ever be able to find him. But I cannot disallow the unbelievably small percentage. If you listen to real scientists, mm-hmm. they never give you absolutes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They give you ranges of percentage high. We highly, you know, there's a high probability, low probability. No scientist makes you a promise.
Right.
Okay. And so I decided that that is the way I approach my life. So I'm going to say that I'm a skeptic. Rather than saying that I'm an atheist. And what a skeptic means is that I have not found any evidence to support the belief in gods or in God or gods
mm-hmm.
or supernatural beings at all whatsoever. But however, I must allow for an incredibly small percentage of them actually existing.
So basically,
in some form.
So basically, all right, is if you've ever watched the TV show like The Atheist Experience, for example, they ask you, do you believe in a god? And mm-hmm. if the answer is no, then you're an atheist. You can be an agnostic atheist, but you can, but you're still an atheist at that point. Mm-hmm. So,
no, my answer cannot be that clear cut.
No.
Well, it may make it seem like, okay, you're skirting. I'm not skirting the thing. If someone says, do you believe in a god? I have to answer. I don't think that there is enough evidence for me to make decisions based on the idea that there is a god or gods.
Well, that you'd be an agnostic atheist, which is fine. I mean, there's a lot of you can be agnostic on a lot of things. Agnostic mm-hmm. is more of a term of knowledge. And since you basically said that you have no knowledge of the fact of there not being a god, then that would be agnosticism right there.
I have to apply that. If someone said, is the sun going to rise tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I would say most likely.
Right.
You know, because there's a very slim possibility that it won't.
Right.
But something terrible will happen.
Yeah, a black hole coming from the right angle plane of the northern hemisphere, I don't know, I'm making shit up at this point. But you know, could fly into our sun and we'd all be done in a matter of hours. So.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's kind of like people say, oh, well, you're splitting hairs. You know the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And I said, no, I have a very, very, very strong belief based on facts and history
mm-hmm.
that the sun will come up tomorrow.
Right.
So that I will make plans.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not say for a fact that it will because I don't know for a fact that it will. If
right.
I did know for a fact, I'd be God. And that's the difference.
Exactly.
So I bristle a little bit when I hear atheists say, I know for a fact God does not exist, because ta-da, you've become just as dogmatic as the people who say, I know for a fact that God does exist.
Yeah, those are the people who say dogmatically that there is no God. Sometimes I fall into that camp myself. But those aren't so much atheists, or they're anti-theists.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other spectrum there. But anyway, I another quick question here. What do you do for your inspiration for your videos? I mean, and is there any videos or channels out there that you really like other than, you know, Packard Pokes at?
It's Kester's Glue.
Kester's
the orange
glue?
Kind, not the blue kind.
Okay.
And I just put that in a paper bag and breathe it for about 3 hours. And then I have a show at the end. It's awesome.
Is that how it works? I should start doing that before these shows. I might actually have a funny show.
Inspiration comes from practically anywhere.
Mm.
What most, I think a few people realize, but not everyone realizes, is that Opinionville is a satire on both the theist, atheist, whatever you want to call it, community on YouTube. And so I draw my inspiration from that community most of the time, or mm-hmm. when people send in topics.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why I can't usually be pinned down for supporting one side of an argument to another. People
right.
do know that I am not pro theist agenda.
Right.
In other words, I'm not going to defend stupid positions.
Right.
I will defend a theist's right to believe what they want to believe.
Right, exactly.
I do not believe it is my right to walk up to someone and say, you're an idiot and you're going to believe what I'm going to believe. Now get in that camp and don't come out until you believe what I believe. grandma.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so my topics come from the videos I watch for what's going on in the world and from topic suggestions when people send in stuff.
No, that's cool.
I have to say about 65 to 75% have been topic suggestions.
Cool. My next question here is, how do you go about producing your videos? What do you do to edit them and film them?
It is a week-long process. Generally, I will sit down and write the script, the first draft of the script on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give it a day, you know, overnight to let me think of other things. Then I do what's called a punch up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will rewrite the script, put in new jokes, maybe even change the entire direction of where the main skit is going. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm creating all of the JPEGs for the shout out section.
Mm-hmm.
And any pictures or specials that I need for the episode itself. And filming is on Wednesday, and that's usually filming it is actually the shortest part of the entire process.
Mm.
I'll usually have that down in 45 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
And then editing, I have to compile and convert everything on Wednesday night.
What do you use to do that? I mean, what programs do you use, and what kind of computer do you use?
I have a self-built, so I just kind of cobbled it together over the years and pulled out drivers and stuff like that. I don't have anything terribly sassy. I don't like Mac.
Oh, that's fine.
I don't like Mac products.
I have both Mac and Windows machines here myself, yeah. But
the programs I currently are using is, let's see, I believe it or not, I still do a good part of my editing using Microsoft Movies.
Really? Microsoft Movie?
Yeah, the Windows Movie Maker.
Oh, Windows Movie Maker. Okay, yeah. I'm familiar with that one.
I still do generally a final edit on that. I will upgrade eventually, but it's just a matter of time. Because if I have to learn something new, then it means stopping production.
Because
I am the only, you know, basically the only person there. I also edit on what's called Wondershare, which is a video editor. It also converts all of my files.
Okay, and then you convert them to movie file or AVIs?
To AVIs.
Okay, all right. I was just kind of curious about that. Also, how did you get into making YouTube videos and other YouTube? I kind of mentioned that before. And the YouTubers out there that you check out that you like the most.
When I first started, you know, I was watching, you know, Thunderfoot and Bionic Dance and The Amazing Atheist and, you know, people like that. And the more I watched, the more I was like, you know, I have my own opinion. So I started making a series called Blog Tunes, which was animated.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it was the simplest of animations, it would take me a week and a half to just do one episode.
Mm.
And so then I started putting – I finally got a video camera, a cheap little Sony Bloggy, and then I started putting myself in the videos. And I would have to say about 2 months after starting doing that, Imaginary Gary made his first appearance. And what I realized from that point is with what I wanted to do, I'm a playwright. So I like writing scripts. I'm better at writing dialogue than I am monologues.
You can start writing for this show because we have no writers. I just say whatever falls out of my mouth, actually.
But since
you would never know that
was here for me to write.
It's mental diarrhea.
That's what it is. Yes.
Yeah. I didn't want to play every character and put on makeup or a mustache or something like that. It was easier for me to just act out these short little skits with puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually, over the last 3 years, the number of puppets has increased. My proficiency at filming and getting everything done has gone up, and
that's
basically how it's gone.
Yeah, the more you do it, the faster you get at it.
Yeah.
How many puppets do you have currently?
I think 20, maybe.
20. Wow.
Maybe, yeah, wow. Around there. There are lots of puppets that have only made one or two appearances, and you know, there's the big four, and the big four are Puppet Jason, Fundy Monster,
mm-hmm.
Imaginary Gary, and AJ. Those are the four that almost always appear every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the guests.
And don't forget Oswald. He makes an appearance almost every week.
Well, Oswald does, but he's not part of the big four.
Oh, is it really? Oh, really?
The big four are the four that have always met at that conference table to argue.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, never mind. Yeah. I confused there.
Oswald was a side character who now makes an appearance every week because everyone loves him, and also because the shout-outs are shared between him by audience demand. They kind of wanted him to always be on the shout-outs.
Mm-hmm.
So he became a permanent part of that.
Oh, absolutely. He's very – I like the persona. I like the fact that I was like, Packard, I'm going to kill you. How dare you tell him that I forgot my
– What was it?
The headset. I asked about the headset.
Oh, the headset, right.
And he's like, oh, Packard, you foiled my planner or some shit like that. I forget what it was, but
– Well, I wanted to stick a sweet character in with all of these cynics and crackpots. Uh-huh. And jerks, which is what they are. I think the reason why people like the... I think one of the reasons is that underneath all of their fighting, the core group really does love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a balance that was hard won. But I'm glad to see that it's there and that people appreciate it.
Oh, that's cool. I have one more quick question, and then I'm going to get one from that I got from the channel real quick here.
Okay.
What do you do outside your YouTube persona? What do you do for work? You don't have to give the name of the company or anything like that, but what kind of...
I work for a telecommunications company.
Cool. You've been listening in with the NSA, right?
That's exactly right. That's right, Becker.
That's where you get all this great material from.
You want to know what you had for dinner last week?
Yeah. I don't remember what hell it was.
I got pictures.
Good.
So you weren't furloughed, right? You're still spying on us? Good.
There's a reason why I'm not furloughed. No, I do work for a very large company, a very, very large telecommunications company,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of office workers that have known for a long time that I'm very strange and know that I do this at work. And, you know, eventually it is going to have to move to the home simply because it's starting to take more and more time, and I'm not happy with the sound quality.
Mm.
That I'm getting at work, and I would like to move it to an actual more of a soundstage kind of something that I could set up.
Wait a minute, you make your videos at work?
Yeah, on my breaks.
Yo, that's badass.
I actually film them on my breaks.
How long is it? How long do you get a break? An hour, half hour?
I get an hour total.
Really? And you can get a whole film set done up in 1 hour?
I will get in to work about a half hour early. So that gives me an extra half an hour. And if I really want to, I'll stay a little bit later and film.
Wow.
But it was just more convenient for me to do it.
Your coworkers are outside the door like he's in there playing with his puppets again.
People walk in. There's plenty of outtakes of people walking in.
Really?
While I'm filming the segment, yeah.
You should put some of those outtakes up because that'd be epically funny. That'd be epically funny. Okay, I have a quick question on YouTube from, I can't pronounce his name, C-H-T-H... ON-665. He says,
Cthonis. It's Cthon-665.
Cthonis. Okay.
Flat made of the beast.
Okay. Well, almost a beast. He's 665, so.
Yeah.
He says, Dear DD Jason, are you aware of the British comedian and folk musician Mike Harding? And he says, to get acquainted, I recommend you watch. He's got a link there. I won't give the link over there.
He asked me this question earlier, and I've never heard of him. And it's really funny because I have – my younger brother's name is Mike Harding, and he's a musician.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah.
How is that for a coincidence?
Yeah. No, but I would love to – I'd love to hear his stuff.
Yeah, he gave a link, so you get a chance to look at it sometime. All right, I'm going to turn the – over to the peanut gallery here, as it were, my co-hosts. Joe, what are your questions for Jason with a D?
Jason, I love your puppets. I think they're excellent.
You.
Yeah, they're really... I love the design, the colors. They're really good. And I also love Jim Henson's Muppets. You do as well, right?
Yes, very much.
Of course. Great. So I wanted to ask you, despite Kevin Clash's fall from grace, did you ever see the documentary called Being Elmo?
Yeah,
and if so, what did you think of it?
I thought it was excellent. I thought it was.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Kevin Clash, you know, despite the current scandal, that's the only way I can describe it. Is a very talented puppeteer, and it really shows the drive that he had from a very young age to do exactly what he wanted to do. And you'll find that a lot of professional puppeteers are like that. They knew very early on that that's what they wanted to do. I was trained as an actor, and I've always liked puppets. I like playing with puppets, but this is the first time I've ever actually used puppets as an art form in order to perform what I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now that I'm doing it, I really appreciate the art form of puppetry much more. because it is a very odd experience to literally turn a part of yourself into something alive. It's amazing when you have a puppet and you're sitting there and they can see you and they can see that you're operating the puppet, and the puppet starts talking to someone, they start talking to the puppet.
I've seen that. That's really been a little universal. Yeah, I've seen
because
that. Because really
the
strange.
Mind readily accepts that it's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can equate it with is that people want to meet the puppets and they treat the puppets as if they are living creatures. And I think one of the reasons why puppets are better than cartoons is that you can actually meet these characters. You'll never meet Bugs Bunny.
Right.
Ever. As much as I would love to be able to meet Daffy Duck and shake his hand and thank him for all of the entertainment, I know that Daffy Duck is comprised of several million celluloid pieces of celluloid. He doesn't exist anywhere. He's a grand illusion.
Mm-hmm.
He's a trick of light and shadow.
Yes.
In my opinion, the greatest puppet ever created and performed was Yoda.
Oh,
because Yoda, it only took you about 3.5 seconds to buy him.
Yeah.
You went, oh, he's real.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't even think of, most people, when they want to mock Empire, they'll make fun of the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But when you rewatch that movie, by the end, when he's floating the X-Wing around and all that other stuff, he seems like a living creature.
Mm-hmm.
Most people will accept him as that.
Yep.
And he is he's a very complex puppet, but he is not much different than the puppets that I'm using.
Right.
And that was all Frank Oz. Frank Oz learned how to translate a human performance and put it in and have it all be within his arm and his voice.
Yes.
And that's what I'm discovering about puppetry, is that it doesn't just work on little kids. Adults still do it.
Yep.
They still will talk to a puppet. If you've ever seen a celebrity who goes up to a red carpet where Kermit the Frog or something's there,
mm-hmm.
people run up and say Kermit, and they give Kermit a hug.
Uh huh.
Kermit is a puppet. He is made out of cloth. But people will never accept that. You know, the only time I think people had an existential drama, it was when Jim Henson died.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden people realized, oh my God, that means Kermit's gone too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think that they would get him back.
Yeah, they thought, once the voice of Kermit was gone, that was all the way.
It wasn't just that his voice was gone. It was that the performer who did him was gone. It's kind of like, I can't even think of. It's like when Shatner dies. When Shatner dies, the original Captain Kirk is gone forever.
Yes.
And no matter who steps in to play Captain Kirk afterwards, they're never going to be the same as the original James T. Kirk.
Right.
As the original Shatner.
Oh, yeah. That's.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Jason, you're making me upset.
Are you afraid the Shat's going to die?
He's just very emotional at that time.
Okay. No, that's all right.
Don't even go there, Packard.
I won't go there, Crystal. Crystal, Joe, wait a second. Joe, did you have another quick question for Jason?
Of course I did.
Okay. I almost cut you off. Go ahead. What do you have another quick question?
Jason, can you do the Jim Henson Stitch?
Yes.
Good.
I have not. Now, here's the difference. I haven't mastered the Stitch.
Okay.
But I have done it a few times, and it's worked great a couple of times.
I'm sorry. Jim Henson Stitch?
I'm not using the correct kind of fleece. You have to use a specific kind of fleece, which they've stopped manufacturing. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, the Jim Henson Studios Stitch has tons of it. So
a Stitch that was, it's kind of up in the air whether Jim Henson created it or if one of his puppet makers did. It is a Stitch where if you take Antron fleece,
mm-hmm.
and you there's a specific Stitch that you can use. It's very close to a baseball Stitch. And okay. as you stitch the seam up, if you pull the Stitch together,
mm-hmm.
it and then you fluff it up, the seam disappears.
Really?
So, for example, Kermit the Frog is a very simple hand puppet. Mm-hmm. And if he hadn't used the baseball Stitch, he'd have this big seam running down the middle of his face and up and over his head.
Right. Mm. He's a great example of the Jim Henson Stitch.
Yeah, he is. Because you'll never see it. And you can see it if you are right next to if you had the puppet out on your hand, you'd be able to see the Stitch. But it disappears on television.
Yeah, that's magic.
Puppets really are custom made for TV and for YouTube. I'm surprised more people haven't figured out how to use puppets on YouTube.
Yeah, well, it takes this very special kind of person to do that. It does, really, because there's you have to divorce yourself from yourself to put yourself into these character roles, and you have to step out of your mind into that.
I was doing that as an actor for years.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing that as an actor for you know, years and years. So it was a little bit easier to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to just come up with these characters and act through the puppet.
Cool. Joe, do you have a last question? Then we're going to move on to Crystal then.
Oh man, I got a few questions for him.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay,
I'll do
real quick, Jason. What did you think of the last Muppets movie? And have you seen the trailer for the next one?
I love the last Muppet movie.
Hell yeah.
I think it's the direction that they need to go in.
Absolutely.
It recognizes their past. It's not, and it wasn't gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen enough of the next trailer to know, to have any real opinion as to what's going on. But from what I've seen, it looks funny. Just so long as they never, ever, and this was a rumor that they never become CGI, I'm happy. So long as they remain puppets.
Good.
They use CGI to remove the rods. The rods that connect.
I remember.
Kermit's hands, those rods. They mm-hmm. digitally remove the rods so that you don't see them.
Well, that's normal. I mean, they used all sorts of trickery in Muppets Take Manhattan for Kermit to ride a bicycle.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking about that one. That exact scene, as a matter of fact.
So, if they use CGI to remove rods, that's fine.
It's a very complicated marionette rig with some robotics.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing thing. If you could, what's really, I think one of the reasons why people don't appreciate modern puppetry is that you never get to pan back and look at everything that it took to pull off a particular thing. Once you've established that these creatures are alive, a lot of people just take for granted that they're doing these things, and they don't stop and think, "Holy crap, how did they pull that off?" Because they think that Kermit and Miss Piggy and all these other characters are living. So when you see them riding a bike, you go, oh, okay, they're riding a bike. Look at that. Or when they're out in a boat in the middle of the lake, they don't stop to think, oh, Jesus, Jim Henson and Frank Oz are in scuba gear, nearly drowning.
Oh, they make all sorts of complicated stuff to hide the people, yeah.
Exactly.
I was going to ask you what your favorite puppet was. You answered Yoda. Real quick, I'm going to tell you my favorite puppet is Tom Servo.
Yeah, well, mine here. Okay, I'm a Crow fan. Crow is my favorite.
Oh, you're a Crow
fan.
Out
of that group, I'm a Crow person. I love Crow.
Nice.
He's just a little harsher than Tom.
Is Crow the one with the big that looks like he's got a big mitt on the back of his head? There,
it's a hockey mask. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I actually got to go to the Mystery Science Studios and see the original puppets.
Oh, really? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh.
And my last question for you, Jason.
Yes.
My high horse has wings and flies me to the holiest places on Earth and then poops on them. What is your high horse like?
Referring to the last video he recently did.
Well, my high horse is actually... an early horse called the Dawn Horse. It only stands about 3 feet high, yet it can carry my full weight. Its name is Darwin. it can travel faster than the speed of light. And it never makes a mistake because of its infallible reason and logic. That's my high horse. Wait, this should become a movement. What's your high horse?
Crystal, what do you have any questions for Jason?
No, I think Joe actually
asked all your
questions. Yeah, he actually did. But Jason, I just want to say I really do enjoy your channel, and me being a Christian in the group, I can't really say that I enjoy a ton of the channels sometimes of the people that we even have on here. Sometimes some of that stuff's hard to swallow and hard to listen to. And you present it in such a way that it makes it enjoyable. And I also love the way you interact with your audience and the way you answer the questions and you give a shout out. You can tell that you have got a passion for this, and I just adore your channel. I really do. You do a wonderful job.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I you know what? I it's not like I don't go out of my way trying not to insult people, but I don't try to do unfair. If I feel that something is unfair, I call it unfair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I feel that something is kind of crazy and it could be detrimental to people, I will call it that. But I just don't. My show is a kind of reaction to the other channels where they are just angry and. And they seem to have lost their sense of humor about things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it has a general feeling of like hopelessness to it, even though they may be trying to sound like they're taking back power. And I've always said, you're only 10% of the population. Shut up. Shut up. If you really want this fight, you're going to lose.
Actually,
this is not how you win friends.
Actually, we're about 18% of the population now.
Are we? Well, that's good. We'll still lose, Packard. If we got the war that some of these online atheists seem to want, because my dividing line has been, once you start using militaristic metaphors, I'm out.
Ah.
I'm gone. It doesn't matter who you are. I subscribe to a lot of Christian people,
mm-hmm.
who will point to other militaristic Christians and say, these people sound very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same way with atheists. When atheists start sounding extraordinarily dogmatic or make... You know, some of the things that they've said, if you ever applied that in reality, they're monsters. They're insisting, you know, they're kind of like children. They're insisting that atheism be accepted by everyone right now. Well, how are you going to do that other than rounding people up and putting them in camps? How can you, you know, the dream is everyone will suddenly wake up and they'll believe in reason. That's...
about that every day, but then I go to work and I have to realize with everybody else.
Human beings change generationally.
Mm-hmm.
They do not change immediately. When you have someone who wants change immediately, they're called a dictator.
Yes.
That's when they say, what I say goes, everyone's going to do. That's what Pol Pot was.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I don't care what you're selling. The instant you want immediate change within your lifetime, you're not thinking realistically or logically.
Right.
To be quite honest.
I just ask people to think about what they're saying sometimes.
Exactly. And that's all I ask for people to do, is to think about what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that my skepticism isn't a threat to anyone's religion.
Right.
But there have been plenty of people who feel that it is.
Yeah,
I don't go around telling people what they should or should not believe. I don't like it when people tell me. So why would it be okay for me to tell other people?
Right, exactly.
It isn't, unless they want to challenge me, or if that's what they want, they want an honest debate. You know, I made a comment to you. There's a reason why I think that I don't have a whole lot of, I don't have any, as near as I can tell, trolls.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about that when we were getting the audio set up.
Yeah, I've had people disagree with me,
mm-hmm.
but I've never had people come out and just try to troll me to get me to fight with them, simply because I'm trying to, in a humorous way, show all sides and ask the audience the question, what do you think about this?
Right.
You know, because that's why it's called Opinionville.
Right.
I remember when I first changed the name of the show to Opinionville, people were like, Opinionville? What the heck does that mean? But it's like,
what the hell has anybody got an opinion about?
Yeah, and no opinion is right necessarily, and no opinion is completely wrong.
Right. That's why they're called opinions.
Exactly. And I like being able to have a bunch of different characters, each one with their own hang-ups,
mm-hmm.
You know, that can attack things from different at different ridiculous angles.
Mm-hmm.
I think today's was, you know, the whole Puppet Jason being upset because popular YouTubers don't mention, you know, the government shutdown.
Right. We don't have that problem. We're not a popular YouTuber yet.
No. But the whole thing is that at the end, he gets distracted by whatever it is that interests him. So his high horse is just as invalid as everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, the day that I start becoming dogmatic and I start my videos start taking a very clear and single position on everything, I think it will be that's when I need to quit and rethink what I'm doing.
Yes.
Because I don't, you know, one of the problems that I have is when they say everyone needs to believe what I believe, and I don't associate with anyone that believes in gods or gods, I'm like, really? So I guess your grandparents don't see you all that often, or, mm-hmm. you know, the people that you work with, or, you know, if I did that, I wouldn't see a lot of my family members.
No.
I mean, I love my grandmother. My grandmother went to church every day and prayed for me and still loved me and never told me not to do whatever I was doing or not to think whatever I was thinking.
Yeah.
She treated me within the tenets of her faith, and I respected her for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that more people would have just slightly more respect on both sides.
Right.
Slightly more respect.
Agreed.
Just, you know, I don't hate theists. I'm not an anti-theist by any stretch of the imagination. I want people to have reasoned debate. And, you know, with some people you can't have that. You can't have that with a creationist, I don't think. Because a lot of them seem to be arguing from a very insecure place, and I think they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to attack. They like to attack and mock right off the bat.
Oh, I've dealt with those people like that in real life. It's very difficult to get them to understand even the real basics because they think something like a chair turns into a table or some shit like that. It's mm-hmm. like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not how evolution works. And
yeah.
But they don't want – because they lack the understanding. It's called an argument from ignorance. They lack the understanding, and they refuse to try to understand because if it's explained to them and they actually will understand it, then that throws their whole God theory out the window. And they can't accept that.
Right.
So,
see, I'm not one of these people who believes that the only defense we have against them is mockery.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that our defense against, like, for example, people who want to push their religion onto other people, the only defense we really have is by making sure that our rights are still strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so long as we have a functioning court system,
mm-hmm.
we'll be okay, so long as we continue to argue rationally and reasonably.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be all right. This sudden turn to, well, they're going to mock us or we're going to mock them back. I'm just as guilty of that myself, but I try to do it so that it's more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
That if I'm going to satirize the mocking creationist, I need to satirize the mocking atheist on the other side.
Yeah, I've seen you do that too.
Yeah. I'm not saying that what people are doing are wrong. I just wish that people would... And I know there are lots of people on both sides who have taken the time to try to meet in the center. Mm-hmm. And lots of people have. I think what's really bad is that when you have the far far extremes on both ends shouting loudly and fighting and arguing, they fail to notice that in between, there are lots of people of both faith and skepticism and atheism who are friends,
mm-hmm.
close friends who accept that someone else believes something different.
Yep. Like here on the show, Crystal believes in a God, and we don't. And mm-hmm. and some people was like, we give her... She's actually the only Christian on this show that has an. She's an honorary atheist.
Boy, that must make you feel great, Crystal.
I've got the card to prove it. Yes.
Oh wow! Nice.
Sometimes she knocks on our doors and asks if she wants us to talk to her about it.
And I'm sorry, I've kind of gone off on a different tangent, but I mean,
that's all right.
I just felt that as a satirist, which is what I am at heart, mm-hmm. probably more than anything else, I like satirizing the extremes of the arguments.
No, that's perfect, because that's exactly what an artist should do. In your case, that's what's perfect. What you should do.
I mean, I will draw a line. I will say this is what I believe. But mm-hmm. the show has a different morality than I do.
Right. Well, it's monsters.
Well, I mean, a lot of people want to think that the show is me.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out of my way to make sure that the show isn't me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just as opinionated and flawed as anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that the show is fair.
Right.
That's why I don't do a whole lot of you don't see me standing there giving my personal opinion about things usually.
Right.
That's why I've created all of these different characters so that I can approach an argument from different directions. Okay. And I want to maintain that show remains that way. But I am not like that all the time. Or as much as, if anything, the show, believe it or not, with all of its infuriating characters, is what I want to be.
Okay.
And instead of what I am.
That's
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, in a way.
The show is fairer than I am.
Yeah, I could understand that. And it does make perfect sense. Crystal, do you have another question, or did you want to go to the chat?
I just want to add to what Jason was talking about. Me personally, honestly, don't listen, Packard. Put your hands over your ears.
La, 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 la.
Some of the times, some of these people that will go and review on these YouTube videos, I literally will put my hands over my eyes and kind of just, half look, because I'm almost afraid of what I'm going to hear. I'm like you. I don't like extremism one way or the other, from one side or the other. It's not a way to win anybody to your side, and it's not a way to get people to listen and open up your mind and think differently and think rationally most of the time. But your channel and your artistry draws people into your channel. I've watched two and a half hours of your videos today.
Oh, jeez.
it just drew me right in, and I'm just like that. I got interested in the characters, and I got I would have had a conversation with the characters too, just like everybody else. And Miss Piggy is alive, damn it. Don't tell me differently. Next thing you know, you'll tell me the Easter Bunny's not real. Don't say Jesus, Packard.
I'm going to take my fingers.
Thank you, Jason. I really have. I really enjoyed that today. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Every once in a while, my personal opinion does creep in. You will usually tell. If Puppet Jason is really, really. There have been. Actually, you know what? It's Gary. If Gary comes in and he is so angry, that usually is something that I'm actually quite angry about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. Usually, there are times where I cannot approach the other side without it being completely mocking, simply because I find their position so loathsome that I can't. And people have to understand, I'm doing extraordinarily broad caricatures of the far extremist point. I mentioned Cleghorn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cleghorn, the green one.
Cleghorn is the misogynistic, men's rights advocate. But what I mean by men's rights advocate, as in he believes that there is a female cabal that's trying to, that men are actually the lower tier in our society. Somehow, all the CEOs and all that other stuff, they're actually controlled by women. Don't know how that works, but
Well, hey, if they don't do what the lady wants, and you don't get a little nookie later, then that just makes everybody cranky.
He's a race realist, which is a new age term for bigot.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing there. I am not interested in humanizing him.
Mm.
I am not interested in turning him into a sympathetic character. Because those opinions, as far as I'm concerned, are so beyond reason and logic, and are just so painful to hear that I will satirize them. But I'm not going to turn him into, like, for example, Fundy Monster. Fundy Monster started off as an extreme Christian caricature.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a fan favorite because I made him more three-dimensional.
He looks like a parrot.
Huh?
He looks like a parrot.
He's not a parrot.
I know, he looks like a parrot. I mean, he's got the beak and he's got the eyes.
He doesn't have a beak. Well, he has a big yellow nose.
Well, okay. So, well, to me, it looks like a beak.
But okay, that's but just he's my colored perception. Like a parrot.
Right.
He's colored like a parrot.
Right.
But I made him more human simply because he was becoming – he was starting to represent something that I had severe sympathy for, and that was someone who was gay that was growing up Christian, you know, very right-wing conservative Christian in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like I wanted to mock that. That was a difficult enough road to hoe than having me pile on top of it and mock that.
Right.
Because I honestly did not hate the person that felt that they had to cover up who they were because they were afraid they were going to lose their family, their friends, their church, their community, their everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed Fundy Monster to accept, you know, his homosexuality. And then what I did was I created a different persona for someone who represents the severe right-wing conservative...
Reverend Pone.
Reverend Pone. Who I don't mind, you know, I don't humanize him.
Where did you come up with the name for Reverend Pone, by the way?
Reverend Pone. People think I named him Reverend Pone as in Pone someone in the
That's
game
what I was
term.
Thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking just now.
I named him Reverend Pone after Corn Pone.
Corn Pone?
Yeah.
You
don't know what Corn Pone is?
No, I've never heard that term before.
Oh, okay. That's what he's named after.
Okay. Who or what is Corn Pone? Just for our audience listening and myself who've never heard this term before.
You know what? I don't know. I think it's a food product. I know that I've heard of Corn Pone. I've never eaten it. It was like I'd heard of grits, but I'd never eaten it. And then once I ate it, I never wanted anything else for breakfast again.
Yeah, Connie in the Connie in the chat room just said Corn Pone is corn cake.
Corn cake. Thank you.
Or corn bread. Okay.
Corn
yeah,
bread.
You know
my lord. Okay.
Yeah.
I've tried
grits.
The grits, yeah. It's just,
I love grits. I love grits.
Grits are the shit, man.
With some butter and salt.
It's very grainy. It's for me. Mm-hmm. I've tried it. For me, it's very grainy. There's
grainy.
Another. Yeah, it's grainy. It's very thick.
There's just grits. Cream of wheat.
Cream of wheat. That's what it is. It's just very grainy cream of wheat for me.
No, it's not.
No.
I mean, for me, it was.
It's a little bit of wonderful heaven. I can't eat it anymore because of my diabetes. But man, alive, I love that stuff.
Okay.
Sucks, doesn't it, Jason? I got it too.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay, good.
Okay.
We'll take some questions for the channel. We had one from Dawkins Dog. He says, Jason, do you feel more open to speak your mind via a puppet?
I feel. I have no problems expressing my own personal opinions. I feel that I can express more with a puppet.
Mm hmm.
Than I could just as myself. I'm more free to be able to, like I said, to approach things from different angles as a puppet, as a different personalities, than just as myself.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm stating something of personal opinion, I usually state, this is my personal opinion. When I'm writing for the characters, I'm writing from that person's point of view, from their perspective, which is something that I, you know, if I tried to do that speaking of as myself, it would be play acting.
Mm-hmm.
So yes and no. That's an interesting question. I'm freer to explore a subject with the puppets than I would be if I was just doing it by myself.
Okay. Connie in the chat room, she asks, my question, where do you see Opinionville in a year from now?
I don't know. Maybe have 100 more subs. you know, I would like to get, you know, things come in, like I said, I'm doing everything alone. if this was a bigger channel, if I had more subs or if I had more views, I might be able to bring someone in. I have lots of friends in the theater community that would be willing to help out every once in a while, but for the most part, I'm pretty much producing this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So it to make and to institute changes can take time. I would like to have better camera work, better sound.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have more set work, more green screen work in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I would like to have more subscribers. Not because I want to make money off the channel or anything.
I do.
I know you do, Hacker. But for me, I have the performance bug.
Oh, okay.
So I would be doing this whether I was getting paid or not. This is more than just my hobby. This is my heroin. And I need to do this in order to not kill people.
Right.
And luckily, I don't have to break into people's homes and perform puppetry in order to get my fix. I can just, you know, put it up on YouTube. You know, I reach a very wide, a much wider audience on YouTube than I ever did doing theater in San Francisco. Because when you do theater, it's a 3-week run. You're reaching maybe 2,000 people. You know, I'm doing this every week and getting, you know, around 400 views or whatever.
I could just see you just breaking in someone's house. Hey, I'm going to give you a puppet show, whether you like it or not.
Now shut up.
Now sit down, shut up, and enjoy. We'll have got to have some fun today.
This is Mr. Gun, and this is Mr. Knife. Say hello. We're going to kill you. Shut up, Mr. Gun. You gave away the ending.
Connie also had another chat room question in the chat room here. She says, are there any puppets that you might make if money was not so much of an object?
Money isn't an object. It's time.
Mm.
And, yeah, there are lots of puppets that I would like to make. You know, the big thing that's coming up on the channel, which I've been avoiding because it is yet another major project, is Funny Monster's marriage to Raul.
Yeah, I've been kind of following that one. He keeps pushing
it. We can only talk about it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Until eventually we have to do it. Now, someone said, well, you know, just do it as like afterwards. And I said, the fans would murder me if they came in and if an episode started with, what a great wedding that was. They'd kill me if they didn't get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when I'm doing plot lines that carry over several episodes, I kind of have to get the framework down and before I can start doing it. And there are several puppets for that I need to make. Funny Monster has parents.
Oh, yeah, I saw the Grammy one that came on.
Grammy Yum Yum was one. Actually, Grammy Yum Yum started as a voice that I was doing to my children.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd walk into the kitchen and go, Oh, my children, why do you leave Grammy Yum Yum in the living room? Why for not talk to me? And so I said, okay, that's got to become a character. And I just went out, bought the materials, made the puppet that weekend. The puppet, she only took about 4 or 5 hours to make.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not the cost, because the puppets usually only cost at most $25 to make.
Really?
Yeah. It's just the expenditure of time, because you're sewing all day.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like all day. And then you're dressing them and stuffing them, and hopefully by the time you're done, they look pretty much the way you wanted them to look.
I bet that helps, you know, when you're sewing up your socks later on, too.
You know, Grammy Yum Yum is made from two purple socks.
Really?
Yes. She literally is a sock puppet.
I couldn't tell, actually. I mean, it's the craftsmanship
I've
is
developed,
there.
Actually, what I've learned is I've developed a technique of using two socks to create a hinged mouth sock puppet. You know, most people think of a sock puppet, you put a sock on your hand and then you put a rambouillet around it and you make a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I actually construct a mouth for the puppet itself, and apparently no one else has done that.
Hmm.
Or at least I don't know of anyone else that's done that. And I use the two puppets as one is an inside liner and the other one is the outside skin, and I, you know, stuff it and, you know. But she's just a pair of two purple socks from Kohl's.
Okay.
Pardon me.
That's okay. Fishhead Cell in the chat room says, all in all, are you doing okay?
Yes. All in all, thank you.
You're welcome. Connie just says she loves Grammy Yum Yum. Maybe the wedding of Fundy Monster will be another collaboration one.
It will be another collaboration one.
Oh, good.
That one was fun. I have to admit, that was fun. And I was very pleased the number of people who were, you know, I didn't have to ask for too many people twice. I didn't, you know, I just sent it out and said, hey, could you guys do this? And everyone was more than happy to help.
Oh, you can count us in on that.
Okay, cool.
We'll be happy here over here at the show to do that, too. So.
Okay. I might need a color commentator.
Joe's good at that.
Well, it's always the one of the problems is that because I am the only puppeteer, I have to shoot things with one puppet in frame at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldom do puppets ever appear in the same frame at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, they've been green screened in together.
Mm-hmm.
And my dream is that for this big marriage episode that I actually do get my friends in to come in and do the other puppets. So that I can do groups of puppets and have a big Muppet-style thing.
That's cool. I have a quick question on regarding that. When you do the recording for the lines for multiple shots, do you just do all of their lines and then break and then
just
go to the next one, just record those and then slice them all together?
I set the camera. I put on the character.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will run through the lines, and then I will do a shoot take in which I will just read the lines and perform the puppet, and I'll be watching the screen on the camera to make sure that I'm getting... I can't watch it all the time because I'm also trying to read my lines.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have enough time in the week to memorize the lines that I write, so I'm kind of glancing back and forth trying to make sure that he's still in frame, to make sure that my head is not in shot. Which still manages to get into the video.
I've seen a few of the outtakes that you put on there. It's like, oh, there's my face. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
What are you doing in the shot?
The weirdest outtakes are the ones in which something happens and it's a genuine reaction from me, yet the puppets are still talking.
Oh.
That was the first time I got it, I said, oh, that's a funny outtake. I'll put that in there. But the more I watched it, the more I was realizing I'm laughing. And Fundy Monster is commenting on my genuine laughter. And that's when I went, there's got to be something about that. It was the one where Fundy Monster was doing his abstinence-only program at his church.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying a lot of things that he doesn't normally say, and... something that he said really just got... I could not get through the line to save my life. And I was laughing at the take. And I would be laughing, and I would have Fundy talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, come on, I only have one line left. And I'm genuinely laughing. This isn't a made-up thing. You have to remember, Fundy Monster is me. He's not a separate person. So if I'm laughing, I am laughing as myself and commenting about myself myself as a monster.
They have therapy for that now, I think.
No, but that's why I said there has to be a psychological component behind that.
Uh-huh.
Because I understand what it means to go deep into a character. That's one thing, to go deep into a character when you're an actor.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite another to be two distinct personalities at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that I'm crazy and I didn't realize what I was doing. But what was surprising was how easy it was to do.
Oh, yeah.
So...
it's to separate yourself out from yourself like
that. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's...
So when I'm performing the characters, they literally are becoming different characters to me. When I watch the videos, I laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't recognize myself as those characters.
Right.
You know, I don't watch Fundy Monster and go, oh, I'm so funny in that. I think Fundy Monster's funny. Or he, and I talk about them in the third person. I don't say, I could do that better. I say, Fundy could do that better. Which is, and like I said, it's an odd place to be in psychological terms. Sometimes.
Yeah. Jason, we're going to cut it short here because the show is already into 2 hours already. So
sorry about that.
Well, that's all right. I'm just going to kill my computer, but that's okay. Usually we lose audio by this time, which we didn't happen this time, fortunately. So we've been very...
Thanks, AJ.
Kick a wire out or something.
Yes. Somebody pull a wire. But if you want to come to the live show, it's at vaughnlive.tv/Packard Pokes out on Friday nights, 9 p.m. Central Time. But if you would like to contact us, we're going to give you all that information right here, right now.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixlr Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe. You do again. You've been practicing in the shower again, huh?
Yes.
You should know, Packard.
Well, I was loofing his back last week, so.
No. The Packard Pokesat lingerie is on back order, though. They said that they're having trouble getting it in from the sweatshops of Philippines. Sometimes they arrive with children's fingers sewn into the seams.
That's great, Joe. Thanks a lot. But
CafePress.com, everybody. Come on.
If you can't make fun of your sponsor, who can you make fun of? But anyway, thank everybody for coming and enjoying the show. And thank again to Jason for putting up with us. And,
no problem.
And
thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And this is anyway, we're going to get out of here. This has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.